There's nothing quite like meeting in a place like this where you find this book. And I'm going to read a portion of this lovely book. And just so you know where I stand, this book is the most wonderful book in the whole world. You'll find nothing like it in the arts library. You'll find nothing like it in the science library or the public library. It's God's Word. And it's absolutely, absolutely lovely. And I'm going to read from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Can I ask you just to pray a moment with me as we come to God's precious word? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this open book, and I pray for open hearts. I pray, Lord, that we might hear that other voice in the preaching. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now, I want to ask a question. Do you keep fit? Are you fit? Some of you students may be very, very fit. Well, I've got some suggestions for you. Have you seen these devices that you can wear on your body? There's the Fitbit Charge. That is £119. Or perhaps the Misfit Ray is another item. That's £79.99. Then I've come across the MyZone MZ-3. That's £129.99. And then finally, there's the Microsoft Band 2. That's £199. Perhaps you're wearing one right now, and you're not doing any... Oh, somebody's put their hand up. Yes. I don't know why I did it, but have you ever stood in Newborough Forest on Boxing Day in the centre of the forest with your feet in snow? I have. I don't know why I did it, but our son said years ago, he said he would like to go running, and he just bought one of these Fitbits, but it was before we had mobile phones, and I took him there. And I stood in the snow in Newborough, and off he went. And when he came back after an hour, we went home, and he connected it to his computer, and he saw on the map all the places he went. And then on another occasion, our son had a pedometer, and he had it on his belt. And his wife, Elaine, she had one, and their cousin was staying with them at that time, and they were all seeing how many steps they could outdo the other one. And at the end of a working day, they came back, and they were there in the kitchen doing this, trying their best to get their number of steps up. But you know, it's not just students, and it's not just our son, but I live in a little village called Llandegfan. And I can tell you, because I'm privy to it, that there are a number of pensioners there who have these Fitbits, and they're going around. And you think they can't go very far, but they're checking all the time how many steps they're doing. Well, let me put it to you here in this lovely psalm. We have exercises for our soul, for our spirit, and that is praising God. A wonderful, wonderful privilege we have to exercise and praise God. The Hebrew title for the Psalms is Book of Praises, and the key word of the book of Psalms is worship. And its message is to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So this book, and especially these Psalms, could be said to be an exercise manual. And I like what Martin Luther said. He said that these psalms are like a Bible in miniature. And you can see reflections of the other 65 books in the psalms. Now this 33rd psalm, it's probably written by David. And here in this psalm, for the first time, we have musical instruments plainly mentioned in the text itself. And I want to divide this into three sections. First, I'm taking verses 1 to 9. There is praise to the Lord, exercise to the Lord in our soul, rendered to him as our creator. And then in verses 10 to 17, praise to the Lord is rendered to him as ruler. And thirdly, praise to the Lord is rendered to him as keeper and deliverer, verses 18 to 22. So here in this lovely book, in this wonderful Psalm 33, we have the praises of a redeemed people. We have praises of the child of God. So first of all, let me take the first one. We've got praise to the Lord is rendered to him as creator. Here is a wonderful exercise. And it's correct. Look at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. We can totally rely on this book that we have. All his works are correct. And we can exercise ourselves in praising the Lord and doing what people do physically. We can do with our own soul and say, I will praise the Lord. Look at verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. We praise God for his creation. And this creation of his, and we see it particularly here in North Wales, the beauty of it, the wonder of it, we're told in Scripture that it's not only something that speaks to the Christian, it's something that speaks to people who do not know the Lord. Paul wrote in 1:20 of Romans, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. So in praising God, so in exercising our soul, we need not be at a loss for what to praise him for. Everywhere we look, when we look at our hands, our feet, a little baby, this wonderful, wonderful scenery, we can exercise our soul by praising God. I don't know how he did it, but I know he did it. And that's the important thing. We can exercise in that way. And then in the second way, praise to the Lord is rendered to him as ruler. We're all under his eye. We go home tonight, we go back to our individual places. I don't see you, you don't see me, but he sees. He knows everything. That lovely verse in Hebrews 4, 14. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Our God is behind the workings of this world. Sin is still in the world, and God is still God. And therefore, history repeats itself. Our politicians are still floundering about second causes. But the fundamental cause of all our trouble is that God is forgotten. We discuss policy instead of putting away sin. In God's purposes, he thwarts men's purposes and executes his own. I came across this lovely thought, a man I like to read about, Sidlow Baxter. He said, the great lessons of this book speak to all people in all ages. Where sin has destroyed the vision of God, men think that the calamities which are permitted to come upon them are indications that God has abandoned interest in them. But where the vision of God is clear, as it was with Jeremiah, the things which are permitted to happen are seen in their true significance, and these very calamities are seen to be evidences that God has not abandoned his throne. The United Nations, they selected a verse out of the scriptures, Isaiah 2:4, which in part says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. But I don't know whether that's the right verse. Perhaps verse 10 in our Psalms here, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. I'd love to put verse 12 in our parliament. Wouldn't it be lovely? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Oh, for our nation to put away sin and turn to God. We can exercise our souls in praise to him because he is the ruler of this universe. Oh, for our nation to put away sin and turn to God. Napoleon said that God is on the side of the greatest battalion. But he demonstrated he was wrong. Because at the Battle of Waterloo, Napoleon had the greatest battalion and lost. Look at verse 16 here. And look at that lovely psalm we hear in the Messiah. We're referring to Psalm 2:4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. My, God will be God. These things will all come to pass according to his way in the future. Bless his name. And then thirdly, verses 18 to 22, we have praise to him as our keeper and as our deliverer. God has promised to look after us and to care for us. Have you ever thought how God has protected you and me up to this very moment? Where would we be but for him? David was a king and a man of war from his youth, yet he acknowledged God as his only protector. Have you asked him to be your protector? Here is an exercise for souls to praise him as our keeper and our deliverer. I'd like to tell you about Henry. Henry. He didn't have an easy life. His father abandoned the family while Henry was still a boy. Then Henry's mother and brother died, leaving Henry an orphan at the age of 9. A Christian couple, Dr. and Mrs. Robert Burroughs, learned of his circumstances, took him in, and provided for his education. Henry studied for the ministry, was ordained, and served several small churches, the last in Brixham, on the English Channel, a pleasant fishing village where he served for 23 years. While at Brixham, he formed a Sunday school that enrolled 800 children. Henry suffered ill health for most of his life, suffering from chronic asthma and tuberculosis, and he died at the age of 54. He would be surprised, I suspect, to learn that tonight we are going to be blessed by him. But that's often how God works. using people whom we might think to be ordinary, and to give us extraordinary blessings. I'll return to Henry in a minute. Isn't it a pity that it is this earth, which is so full of God's goodness, should be so empty of his praises? And that of the multitudes that live upon his bounty, there are so few who live to his glory. Goliath literally didn't know what hit him. Hadn't a clue what had hit him, that little stone. And what about Ahithophel and Haman? What happened to their plans? And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And that wicked man, Haman, who wanted to hang Mordecai, it says in Esther 7:9, then the king said, hang Haman thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. For us as Christians, he's able to deliver our soul from spiritual and eternal hell. Sadly, the world doesn't want to hear this message. Today we're in a situation where a small part is controlling the whole of something. You know, we say, John, he was hired yesterday, and today he's bossing everyone around. It's a case of the tail is wagging the dog. Sadly, culture's telling the church what the Bible is allowed to say. For us as Christians, in all matters, we want to pick up what Paul says in Romans 4:3. What saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? So, what exercises we have here as creator, as ruler, as keeper, as deliverer? Verse 3 speaks of a new song. Well, I'm not certain whether that's entirely new, does it mean, or perhaps one fresh from the singer's heart as it dawns upon the soul how wonderful God is. Some fresh blessing. And the lovely thing is that this book tells me God has never ever done anything wrong. He's always right. And if you think otherwise, there's something wrong in your thinking. He has been so good. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. I think one good question to ask before I close is, what can stop us from exercising? What can stop us from praising the Lord? When you came to Christ, he separated you to himself. Have you ever considered saying to yourself, I'm going to keep myself for him? As Christians, I'm not going to dabble in that which he doesn't want me to do. Now, I've brought something very special here, and I need your imagination for this, but I've brought a horse here this evening. I have a lovely horse here, and I'm going to have another horse side by side. I don't know whether to put Matt Dawson on it. I don't know if we can get him up on it, or whether I should get up on it, but we've got these two horses. And this is the proposition. The proposition is, standing on these horses, we're going to ride off into the sunset. And I don't think it's possible. I think if you were to get me up there, well, I should fall off straight away. But if you were to get me on top of these horses and we sent them off, how many yards would we go before the horses decided to go their separate ways? And if you love the Lord with all your heart, you want to follow one path and don't dabble and don't go another way. There's a terrible danger of doing that. Mark Twain, he wasn't a Christian, but he was in love with a very beautiful, very wonderful Christian girl. She would not marry him until he became a Christian. He professed to have accepted Christ as his Savior, and they started out at their marriage that way. But Mark Twain, he became very famous. And he was entertained by many famous people on the world. One day when he came back from his home in Missouri, and she wanted to go to church, he said, look, I cannot keep the front up any longer. You go on to church. I know now I'm not a Christian. May I say that made a very, very unhappy home. And it absolutely spoilt the life of this lovely Christian girl. It'll lead to ruin. Back to my Fitbit. We found this out through one of the pensioners in Llandegan, that if you get in your left hand a donut, I don't know where the nicest donuts are. Are they Morrison's? Are they Asda? I don't know. No. I need to do some research. But if you have your Fitbit here, you can eat your donut and you can move your hand like this. And do you know the steps go up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a complete hoax. And you know, that's another thing that can stop you loving the Lord. It's a very hard thing to worship the Lord if you don't know him for yourself. It's just fake. It's just phony. And I would like just to take a few moments to tell you about what it means to become a Christian. I want to tell you that this lovely word of God tells us that every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us come under condemnation. The Bible teaches us that there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And the wonderful message of this book is that there is hope for the hopeless. There's hope for Donald. There's hope for you. And when you have done wrong and when you have disobeyed God, he takes note of it. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Jesus Christ died for, well, let's take it for me first. He died for me and for my sin. But what's more, he died for you. And he loves you. And he asks you, will you come to the cross? And will you meet Jesus Christ? There's a wonderful thing that happens. And the Bible calls it the new birth. It's to be born again. It's to be born again. And when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl is born again, then they can worship the Lord because they know him. There's something about, I can talk about it, but you need to find him for yourself, your own personal saviour. I've just forgotten where I saw this, but you'll know these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill, were the whole sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And if you are not, if you do not know the Lord for yourself, I want to tell you 1,000 times over, Jesus Christ loves you and he died for you. I think we've got here a gold mine in this Psalm 33 and in all these Psalms. Why don't we saturate ourselves in these Psalms instead of running here and there and new methods? Saturate ourselves with the word of God. You would never think there'd been a better time than right now for a Christian influence here in Bangor. Bangor University, one of the oldest prestigious universities dating back to 1884, is right here on our doorstep. Here we have over 11,000 students. And we have over 650 teaching staff and auxiliary workers. Oh, for them to hear more about the Word of God. Oh, for them to hear more about the Gospel. I'd like to close with the testimony of who spent many an hour exercising his soul in this book and in these Psalms in particular. Let me read to you what he said. His name is C.H. Spurgeon, and he wrote it after the completion of his great commentary on the book of Psalms, which took him 20 of the best years of his life. And this is what he wrote. A tinge of sadness is on my spirit as I quit the treasury of David, never to find on this earth a richer storehouse, though the whole palace of revelation is open to me. Blessed have been the days spent in meditating, mourning, hoping, believing, and exulting with David. Can I hope to spend hours more joyous on this side of the golden gate? The book of Psalms instructs us in the use of wings as well as words. It sets us both mounting and singing. Isn't that lovely? Oh, that it might become more meaningful to you and to me, and to be personally translated into shoe leather. Thankful praise is the breath and language of holy joy. This is what is required of us. God bless you.